Hey everyone, hope you're keeping well, and welcome to the next episode of the TRX Procast, your trusted platform for exploring the intersection of fitness, resilience, and the human spirit. I'm Nathan DiRosario, your host, and today we embark on a profound journey alongside two extraordinary guests, Louis Tinsley and Anthony Staz, former UK Special Service soldiers and visionary founders of ThruDark. Together, we'll dive into the depths of their collective experiences, spanning the crucible of military service to the boundless horizons of civilian life. Join us as we unravel the layers of resilience, endurance, and unwavering determination that have fortified and propelled them forward in the relentless pursuit of excellence. In this episode, we'll uncover the timeless wisdom and transformative power of their journey, inspiring us all to embrace the challenges of life with courage and conviction. Enjoy the episode.
Who are we and what do we do?
Tough one to start with, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a tough one, that personally and professionally, and I'll try and keep it succinct and to the point. So myself, I'm Anthony Stazica. I'm one of the co-founders at ThruDark, technical outdoor clothing company. Before that, before 2018, I was in the military. I was in the UK Special Forces, Special Boat Service. I spent 13 years in the military. My first three were in the Royal Marines, and my last 10, my more formative years, were spent in special forces. And I guess, you know, when me and Louis were in there, it was probably some of, or arguably the busiest operational time that the service had ever seen. So okay. Lots of operational tours, you know, we've done a lot of stuff, and I'm trying to very quickly condense a very, very long, arduous, challenging, but I guess personally defining period of my life, you know, that really kind of shaped the person that I am today. Before that, kind of a regular upbringing, I guess, kind of it was blue collar upbringing up in Wigan, Lancashire. I had an older sibling. I had good fond memories of being a kid. And then my parents split up. I then relocated to Nottingham,
okay,
Mansfield. And unfortunately, my mum passed away when I was around 11. So that was my kind of first major setback as an individual. I then continued my sort of my education onto secondary school. Wasn't particularly academic. I didn't do too bad. But that said, the main thing that I was sort of drawn towards was sport, in particular football. I went on to sort of play at quite a high level football, representing England schoolboys. Didn't quite make it as a professional, as most failed footballer stories go. I was injured. And then that kind of led me into the military, I guess. And then, yes, since leaving in 2018, sort of had a decorated and great career within the service. I think me and Lou were both sort of similar times leaving, had the sort of initial concept and idea for ThruDark, which we can go into more detail about. So yeah, we left sort of 2017, 2018. And that sort of takes us to the present day now, sort of 5 to 6 years, growing the brand to what it is today.
And Louis, how about yourself?
So I was born in the Lake District, Kendal, Cumbria, and yeah, I spent most of my earlier years there, just kicking around in the local countryside, playing sports and whatever else. Really, I guess that I was reasonably academic, but I kind of had a thing for being in the great outdoors anyway. So I actually got pulled into the military because of the 99.9% need not apply Royal Marines advert at the time. So it was like that seemed like a challenge to me. So.
Yeah.
Yes, that was kind of my first step in the door, and it was for me has been a longer distinguished career really in the military, and I'm very thankful for all of that experience that it's given me over the 14 years I think it was, so 14 years total in the military, I think eight in special forces, so yeah, which was, as Staz said, it was the rock star years really for special forces guys. So yeah, really had such an incredible experience being in the military and at the top tier of what we do really. So that was that, and then yeah, for the last 6 years, 7 years nearly, is we've been concentrating ourselves on our experience on ThruDark and growing a very successful now over this period outdoor clothing and equipment company. So that's a short and sharp kind of my life story as it is so far.
Both of you have mentioned ThruDark, which is part of the partnership that we've got with yourselves. Can you just give a little bit of background in the business idea came about, the concept, and 6 years now, the challenges that you're facing. You're doing really well now, which is great. But just kind of go into a little bit of background of ThruDark itself.
So I guess, yeah, the idea really came about because I guess myself and Staz have both come towards the end of our careers. For myself, I had a medical discharge, so my hand was kind of forced, but it was the right time for us to leave anyway. I think that, you know, we'd had such a successful career and kind of managed to dip our toes into every single aspect of the enjoyable part of the military. Yeah. From then on in, it kind of becomes a little bit more laborious at kind of desk jobs and whatever else. So a higher echelon part of the military, but you know, you're still kind of, it's not frontline anymore. You know, you're not kicking down doors and shooting people anymore. So I guess it was our time to turn the page for one.
Yeah.
And I guess most of our guys go into security work, which myself and Staz did juggle. You know, we had some quite unique jobs upon leaving the military to be able to, you know, do things for, you know, the NFL, so American football, doing some security work for that, which is interesting, but it was never something myself and Staz completely signed up for. And I think we're both quite creative, and we both had, like, through our military careers, wanted to look cool and, you know, look good, feel good, go good. So we always had the best kit and we'd always tweak at it. And then probably quite naively at the time, we were like, maybe we can make the clothing better ourselves. And and so the story began of how we kind of stumbled around in the first instance to try and make incredible outdoor clothing.
So from what you're saying is, the uniform that you were given from a military aspect, you were actually tweaking it yourself and tailoring it yourself. Is that okay to do in the military? Is it quite regimental or that, or was you allowed to, like, bespoke it and tailor it to the needs that you felt you needed?
Yeah, I think to Louis's point there, I think, you know, we were afforded some of the best kit and equipment. Look, special forces, you know, are kind of their own entity, their own unit, clearly. Yeah. And although it's part of the UK military, you know, they are funded differently as well. So, you know, the jobs that we do are very different to conventional Green Army. So we always had the best kit and equipment. That would include, you know, weapons, night vision, you know, optics, all this kind of stuff, but also clothing as well. But for myself personally, from my perspective, I was a sniper in the Royal Marines, okay, and then a sniper and a chief sniper instructor within the SBS. But, you know, we always were trying to tinker and make kit better, you know, and more fit for purpose. And an example could be, you know, on the sniper course, you're trying to crawl around in the, you know, your CS Soldier Combat System 95, it was called, CS95 uniform. You're trying to crawl through gorse bushes, for instance, with that clothing was just a non-starter. So we would take old tent material, canvas, the heavy-duty canvas material, cut it out, and then shape it over the front parts of the pants, around the arse and the elbows, again, just to make it more fit for purpose. Another small example was actually when I first met Louis in about 2016 in the Royal Marines. We were both in the same commando unit, in the same company, and we were going out into the Scottish Highlands, which the weather up there, for anybody that's been up in the Scottish Highlands in that time of year, can be pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Again, we were tinkering with the issued kit we were given, and that could be something as simple as putting a, you know, sewing the Arctic socks into the cuffs of your sleeves of your jacket to make it warmer. And, you know, but we've had so much instances of this on your caches, on the things, you know, your caches, what sort of carries your ballistic protection, but
okay,
we were always tinkering and trying to make things better and better, you know. And for us, the kit that we got was great, but, you know, I had a bloody, I think, an insult to an injury, and already bad time, I had a parachute malfunction, you know, okay, with the SBS, high altitude, we're on oxygen at night, full mission profile, all the kit on, I exited the aircraft, and, you know, I had a bit of a stinker from the offset. I had to pull my reserve, but to add insult to injury, that, you know, the jacket sort of gave way as well, and the zips broke, and it was flailing around in my face, and I just had that kind of comedy moment of just going, I fucking just, you know, insult to injury. So,
yeah.
Now, to Louis's point, you need a bit of naivety, don't you, when you start? And, you know, how hard can it be? You know, we know what we want. We know how good the clothing has to be. It has to be performance first and foremost. And then also, we want it to look cool. And we want it to look different. You know, we're not here to copy other brands. We are who we are. And I think we've done, you know, hopefully, quite a good job of that already. That doesn't sort of come across as arrogant. It's just something that we've had from the start in our minds in terms of how we wanted the kit to perform, you know, why, and then the aesthetic of that as well.
I totally agree. From looking on the outside anyway, from your marketing, your social media, the people that you use, the partners that you're partnering up with, like Reorg, that we're both partnering up with, I think it does have that feel of it's not just a clothing brand, because anyone in theory could just do a clothing brand and just release clothes. But I think yours is definitely bespoke and tailored to the certain demographic or certain people that are going to use it. And I think that's just testament to yourselves, which is really good. Did you find the transition of making or tailoring, let's say, military uniform to then more civilian outdoor outdoor. Was there a bit of a learning curve for that in terms of the processes and the ideas that you had from a military point of view to now more outdoor for your general civilians?
I think it was natural, but also engineered, I think, in the same way, because I think that when me and Stas were coming up with the idea of Through Dark and what that looks like, we always knew that we wanted to tackle the civilian market because nobody else had done that from our background, not with our experience either. So I think it was quite important for us to be able to take our military experience and our heritage of, you know, all of the jobs and operations we've done from, you know, all the hostile environments we've been in and like multiple climates from, you know, like cold weather environments to searing jungles. So yeah, it's, I guess that we engineered it that way. But I think that there is a crossover, you know, the military clothing that you get and how it can perform for civilians is, you know, there are differences, but there are also similarities. So I think the durability was the key thing that we were trying to get across. It's like if it's durable enough for a military guy, it's durable enough for a civilian guy. So it's, yeah, makes sense.
And I think just to jump in on that, those points as well, I think what's kind of attracted people initially and still now is because it's founder led. You know, it's me and Louis were involved from, you know, grassroots all the way through to the end product. We design, develop, and test all the products ourselves, you know, and I think that's quite unique and quite different to anything else you see out there. And, you know, to Louis' point again, all the experience that we've gained across the globe, all this stuff that we've done, you know, all that experience, you know, a combined 26 years, 27 years of military experience goes into every single sort of technical garment that you see there. So I think that's what makes us slightly different and unique. And I think that's why people have kind of been attracted to the brand as well, because look, you know, most brands scratch around trying to find a story, you know, trying to say who they are, you know, and if you scratch the surface on most of the brands, there's not much substance there. So, you know, I think that's what's kind of attracted people, you know, to Through Dark and myself and Louis as well, in terms of the brand and how we sit within the brand.
Yeah. And do you think that's how you've created, in one way, created the community behind the brand as well? Because you two get involved, you've got a story, people believe in what you're doing, believe in your products, instead of, like I said earlier, just a brand that wants to start a clothing chain and that's it. Do you feel that that's kind of helped build that community?
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's like it's grassroots. I think people can see it all the way from the start, from myself and Stas. Even when we were first starting the company, we were showing what we were going out to do. You know, it's like we started with, hey, we've got this idea and this is how we're going to go about it. We showed everything. We were really quite clear and open about it and, you know, transparent, as Stas said. So yeah, I think that's really important. And I think that people scratch the surface on most brands, like Stas has said, and you see through it. So it's like we want people to see the whole of the process that we go through to create everything that we do. So
Yeah.
yeah, definitely.
It's a very similar story to TRX with Randy Hetrick and what he did with the suspension trainer. He found a need for it whilst he was in the military and then took that when he left the military to go and go into business, create the first suspension trainer. And but he was at all the shows, he was doing the exercises, he was delivering the education along with Fraser. And I think then that's how they built the community and then reached out, because it's a unique story, but like I say, it's also very similar in a lot of ways. And I think that's why we've still got the community that we have today. We're celebrating 20 years this year of TRX. And whether you use a suspension trainer or whether you use a different brand, most people will call it TRX anyway. So it's kind of, but I feel it's come from that community more than it's a brand that's selling a product, because I think eventually that would die out. I think it's the community that keeps things going and keeps that brand flag flying high, I suppose, the boots on the ground in a lot of ways. And I can see very similarities with what your guys are achieving at the moment, which is great to see.
Do you know what? That's what you said there about TRX and it being used as the name, the brand name being used for other items that may be perhaps similar, is like that says so much about a product and a brand. You know, it's like it's amazing, really.
Yeah, it's really good. And like I say, it's testament to Randy for bringing something new to the market, but then creating that stability of the business globally now over 20 years, which is great to see. So I want to talk a little bit more now about endurance and training and fitness within the military and into civilian life. So aside from creating Through Dark, was the transition from military life to civilian life, how was that process for you guys? Was that, you know, easy? Was it difficult? Did the starting up the business help you transition? What kind of challenges and experiences did you face?
You know, I guess it was challenging, and I guess what people tend to lose when they leave the military is kind of a feeling of belonging for one, and also kind of a loss of a goal. So I guess if you need goals, right, you need to be able to see something in your future that you aspire to, that you're aiming for, and without that, you're going to feel a little bit lost. So I think in some ways, myself and Stas were quite fortunate in the fact that we were hell-bent on creating what, you know, through dark as it is today. So I guess with that in mind, just having a focus and having a goal to move towards has helped us significantly, and a belonging and a group, because we've grown a business here, which, you know, we've brought people into, which is now kind of has some similarities to the military kind of background that we come from.
Yeah, and just to add to Louis' point there, it is difficult, you know, when you leave, because I guess ultimately you attach so much of your identity to what you used to do, you know, and you leave and you have that kind of, you know, when you're in the military, it's that echo chamber, isn't it? And it's great, you're at the top tier and everything else. And that's all I ever wanted to do when I was, you know, joining the military. I would have given my left arm to be in the special forces. And you know, it's a calculated decision and risk. Life is all about that, isn't it? It's about taking risks, but calculated, hopefully. And I guess for us, the worst case scenario, if it did flop, you know, we could go back in the military and back into special forces. Yes, we'd probably go back in with our tail between our legs. But I think Louis is right. You know, we absolutely needed something to focus on. And you know, for me personally, having somebody like Louis by my side has been instrumental to allowing, you know, me to transition. It's been fantastic. I think I can see why a lot of people struggle, you know, men with that transition and that change. It's a big, big step, which I don't think a lot of people are prepared for. And if I'm honest, the military don't really set you up for. I think when you leave, you kind of have this feeling. I thought I'd be getting brass band, like in, you know, red carpet out the, you know, the main gates on when I left. But the reality was on the day that I left, it was kind of a, okay, yeah, thanks, we'll see you in a bit, you know, which is a difficult pill to swallow, really, considering, you know, the blood, sweat and tears that you give, you know, to that cause. So yeah, Louis is exactly right. I think men as well, with currently what's happening, you know, and the statistics speak for themselves. You know, we're in a difficult period at the moment in time, and I think as long as people have something that they can aim towards, you know, aim high, have something to go towards, then generally speaking, if that's the reason to swing your legs out of your bed in the morning. And for me, and you know, and Louis, through dark has absolutely been that North Star for us, and for me, you know, very grateful for, you know, for people, you know, like Louis as well, to you know, to come on this journey with me. It has been hard, you know, really fucking hard, you know, harder than the military, harder than special forces in so many ways, you know, from a business perspective. But we've been so fortunate in so much that we've surrounded ourselves with really good people as well, you know, from friends that are actually investors, and we've grown the brand how we wanted to grow anything, you know, in terms of the characteristics that we look for in people that we're employing, you know, and everything that we try and run through the business, you know, that kind of, you know, it runs in the blood, the integrity and the unity.
In terms of your military career and your background, and then I suppose learning a new skill set for the business of through dark and civilian life, is there any specific military training that you found most valuable still to this day, as alongside the new skill sets, but stuff that you've learned in the military that you've been able to bring to your business and also civilian life?
Yeah, I always call it pre-mortem, I guess. It's probably what we didn't use that in a military context, but I think the planning side of things, I think what could go wrong and planning for every eventuality, I think that's probably one of the key things that we've brought across into military. I guess from a special forces operation planning perspective, you have got to consider every single possible scenario and expect something to go wrong along that line as well, because, you know, we have the saying in the military, no plan survives first contact, and inevitably it never does. So I guess from our perspective, I think I'd like to think that we've brought that very kind of granular thinking about every single aspect of business really before we put something into practice.
Yeah, and in its simplest sort of form, you know, business not too dissimilar to The military is your problem solving day to day. You know, yeah. Some days there's big problems, and some days it's smaller problems, and some days it's a mixture of the two. And I think what that Special Forces teaches you is what Louis is saying. You know, it's kind of planning to the nth degree, most likely courses of actions, most dangerous, and that touches all aspects of the business, the finances, you know, the people, the processes, the product, everything. You know, so we've been quite diligent with that stuff, but you know, things always happen inevitably. But I think what also, you know, added to that as well, another layer is obviously we do a lot of command courses within the military to become, you know, go through the ranks. And that's junior yeah. command courses, senior command courses, advanced command courses, you know. So it enables us, and you know, we've been put into leadership roles as well from the teams and the guys and small teams, larger teams, who've delivered orders, processes to, you know, again, different ranked individuals and stuff. So I guess we've kind of been used to those scenarios and situations of being in high pressure situations, but not just being in those situations, but actually being able to make decisions. Whereas a yeah. lot of people, you know, that I've sort of come across in, you know, in a civilian context, sometimes struggle to just make a fucking decision, you know, and, you know, that the old adage of no decision is a decision. So, and it's great that me and Louis are there to bounce these, you know, these ideas off each other as well and soundboard. So, yeah, there's a lot of experience that we've gained within that, you know, combined 26, 27 years together that yeah. does apply very well into the civilian world. And it's no surprise that a lot of corporate businesses get ex-military people in to talk about leadership and resilience and planning and all this sort of stuff. Because, you know, day one when we left, we were sort of set up and we had a long-term borrowed whiteboard, and we just sort of attacked through dark as a mission, as a problem. And it was like, okay, let's look at the problem. You know, let's zoom out and then zoom in to each individual aspect of that business. And then to the best of our knowledge, you know, how do we think it'll play out and how can we add value?
Do you guys have very similar skill set then, or can you bounce off each other? Is one more, let's say, experience in one area than the other and so on? So, or do you think you're both similar in terms of how you would bring the business together, the people that you would employ, the marketing, all of that? How do you kind of work together?
So it's kind of two things on there. So I guess that, yeah, we're multifaceted. I guess that being able to pick up each other's jobs is really fucking important. But I guess that from quite naturally, I think myself and Staz have different swim lanes anyway because of our strengths and weaknesses, which has worked perfectly. So I guess I'm a little bit more operational, probably a little bit more analytical, and more of a kind of physically being able to correct and get things done perspective.
Yeah, and diligent. I think that, for me, I think it's worked really well. Yeah. We are very similar with our, you know, our views in terms of the brand as a whole, in terms of the aesthetic and the product and how it looks and everything else, but also quite similar in how we go day to day and do things. And we've complemented each other, I think, very well. You know, you both can't be mum and you both can't be dad, you know, yeah. And I think you've just got to, it takes a couple of years to find that sort of that rhythm, I guess, the battle rhythm within business, which we seem to have got down to a T at the moment, and it's working really well. So, you know, and day to day that we touch different elements of the business, but overarch as well, and have the same viewpoints. And interestingly, we just got a new CEO in, Chris, you know, good start, very intelligent guy, and came in, and even on a product basis, he sort of asked us, you know, to come in, and he wanted to sort of interrogate us on our thoughts about what ThruDark is, the brand, but also the products that yeah. we like and don't like. And this was done separately, and Louis went in the room first, and then he came out. I went in the room, and we said pretty much exactly the same things, you know, okay. which was a good exercise to run out, because yeah. you need to make sure that we are actually aligned, and we're wanting the same things, and we're saying the same things, and you know, and that was quite reassuring, to be honest. So yeah,
that's good, and that's could just come naturally because you've known each other for so long, you've worked together. It wasn't like you discussed it before you no. went in and spoke to see it. That was just no. a natural occurrence.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, credit to you both for that one. I want to move now slightly towards the fitness side of things. We're a fitness company. So from a military point of view, physical fitness is a key component. So can you just go and kind of go through the type of fitness training that you had to do in your military career? And then we can talk about what you guys do outside of the military life now.
Yeah, I think we can probably start with Royal Marines because that's where it started for both of yeah. us. So. Yeah, Royal Marines Commando training, I think it was at the time 30, might be 32 weeks training now. So, okay. And it's long. It's robust. I think it's the longest basic infantry training in the world. So, it's, I mean, that's which speaks for itself. And yeah, the physical tests that you have to complete at the end of that training are considerably hard, you know, considerably difficult. So they're the commando tests, I think, and there's four of them. But so yeah, you've got to train over that 32-week period in order to be able to complete those. So you might go in there and you're not actually, you've got to have a base level of fitness, but yeah, get to that level to be able to pass the commando tests, you've got to work hard. And I guess you get put through various tests along the way to ensure that you're going to meet the standard.
Yeah, and it's thinking about that as well. Clearly, the fitness element of the military in general is a key component, isn't it? Let's be honest. Yeah. You know, you have the physical fitness, but you also, I think more importantly for us, and what I look back at now, my career within Special Forces, it's just the physical robustness that's required, yeah, and the mental resilience that's attached to that, probably more so mental than anything. But it's a very, very challenging environment, and rightfully so, it has to be. You know, if we zoom out and look at what a soldier is and what they're required to do, in the set environment, it's fucking hard, you know, and it has to be. And those standards are in place for a reason, you know, and the same with Special Forces. I think, you know, as an example, when I did my selection in 2008, there was maybe circa 240 people, a mix of Royal Marines and paras predominantly, but other people from the military. And they're good stock, they're good people, you know, they're physically fit, they've been on tours, and, you know, and it's natural, isn't it? You look left and right and you sort of, I guess, look at each other and assess how the other person's going to do. And what I found quite surprising from a Special Forces point of view was actually it's not necessarily the people that look the strongest and the fittest, the people with the, you know, the six-pack abs and Adonises and all this kind of stuff. And that was quite surprising for me. But I do shudder looking back now at the stuff that we used to fucking do in the military from a, you know, a physical exertion point of view, and the packs we used to carry on the sniper course and then on selection, and the ground that you have to cover in the time, it's just fucking mind-blowing.
Yeah. And would that be more like, you know, but
I think attached to a strong why and
yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, no, it's all good. Sorry for interjecting. I was just going to say, do you feel it gets to a point then where you're physically fit and actually it's more of a mental challenge to keep that level of fitness and strength to you know, to maintain that standard again and again and again?
Well, yeah, the standards are there and they're set, aren't they? I guess, and ladders, isn't it? You start at the bottom, you work your way up, and then you hit the next big snake and you start again in Special Forces, and it is setting you up for success, because, you know, ultimately the demands of the job are fucking intense. Some of the hardest things I did were on, you know, training scenarios within Special Forces. You know, diving off the North Shore oil rigs is fucking extremely, extremely hard. It is difficult, and you need a certain level, or because the demands on the body are incredible, you know, and the mind as well. So, but that's just setting you up for, you know, hopefully success on missions. And I think you have a lot of pride and self-induced pressure, rightly so, because there's one thing, you not being fit and being able to do your job, you know, best case you get shot and killed, worst case you're fucking, the guy to your left or right is shot and killed, you know, and you have to live with that. So it's not forced upon you once you pass selection to keep fit, it's just expected. It's an expectation, it's an unwritten rule, because you know the demands of the job are so tough. So you have to keep yourself very, very fit, but broadly speaking fit as well. There's nothing, it's not specific, and I think the definition of, you know, fitness is, it's all about specificity, isn't it, that's attached to that. And, you know, you want to be a good swimmer, go and fucking swim. You want to be a good runner, be a good runner. There's a lot of things out there at the moment that I see across social media called, you know, about, you know, adaptive athletes and hybrid athletes and all this stuff. Well, I think the perfect example of that is a Special Forces soldier, because we're asked to do so many different things and wear many a different hat from a fitness perspective.
Yeah, and then going into the fitness from a civilian life, it sounds like the military is quite regimented, is quite intense. How is that adapted? Have you taken the routine of fitness naturally into civilian life, or have you had to adapt it? It's never going to be as intense unless you want it to be. But how is that differentiation between the two styles of fitness training, shall we say?
I think I think that it's not forced, I guess. So upon leaving the military, like Stan said, there's no real reason other than to keep fit and keep healthy once you leave the military, unless you've set yourself up for an event. I mean, whilst we're special forces operators, you've got to be able to operate. So I guess upon leaving, it's like when you're focused on business, then it kind of, it doesn't become a priority unless you make it one. So I think you've got to kind of force yourself to do that. And I think that's internal, right? You want to be able to be the fittest, healthiest and best person that you can possibly be. So
I think, I've attached quite a lot of my, and I probably didn't realize it at the time, but I definitely have since leaving, is how much it affects my mental health, my mood. You know, if I can't train or I don't train, it has a massive detrimental effect across all aspects of my life, you know. And, you know, you have the pride thing as well. You want to keep fit and maintain that fitness. You're correct. As you get older, your body degrades. You're not going to be the same person you were when you were in, you know, at the height of your career or the fittest. But you can do different things and attach different sort of goals to fitness as well. You know, for me personally, I sort of left and was just continuing to work out, broadly speaking, CrossFit style stuff in the gym and jamborees, as we call them. And we're fortunate in so much that we installed a gym in our unit when we moved. I started jiu-jitsu with Sam from Reorg.
Oh, great. Okay.
Jiu-jitsu, which has been fantastic for me for, you know, in terms of learning a new skill, but attaching it to fitness. And then sort of setting yourself goals as well, whether that's, you know, climbing a big mountain or whether that's a marathon or a half marathon. I need something like that. For me personally, I need a goal to aim for and to train for. And I just think it's been a massive benefit personally for me mentally as well.
Yeah. So would it be, I suppose, the fitness side of it? Yes. A routine of fitness is always important. But do you feel the most important part is that you have to set you a goal, like you say, whether it's a marathon, whether it's trying something new with jiu-jitsu, or could you, for example, just go to the gym 4 times a week, let's say like a non-military person that's just doing it to keep fit? How does that kind of work for you from a mental point of view?
I think it could, yeah, it's routine, like you've mentioned for me. It's like and Staz is bang on. It's like it keeps you sane to be able to keep in that routine. So I think that's the thing for me.
And I think I'm slightly different in some ways. You know, I've got kids, I've got 3 boys, you know, 12, yeah. 7, 2.5. And as I look forward as well, I want to set an example in terms of them and let them know how important I think fitness is. And I think it has such a positive effect then across all the other elements of your life, you know, and bleeds well into business. And look, you have to be able to look after yourself first and foremost. It's that analogy of the, you know, the oxygen mask coming down in the plane, you know, there's an accident. You have to make sure your own oxygen mask is fitted correctly first before you help anybody else. And I've seen that happen already with my boys and the kids. They see me go out. They see me at the gym. I take them to the gym. I want to introduce them to fitness because I think it has so many positive effects on the individual, but also other people around you as well. People sometimes need to depend on you. They need to depend on your fitness. But, you know, I think that's been another sort of...
Did either of you suffer any major injuries at the military through either the service or through the actual training and fitness itself? And have you had to adapt that once you've got into civilian life?
God, I'll let Louis run with this one, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess that... So I was medically discharged. I guess that my back had deteriorated to such a degree that, you know, it was going to be a desk job for the rest of my career. So I think that's general wear and tear, or I know it is from probably a lot of military training. I think most guys in the military have got an injury to some degree. Most of the backs are shot out. And I think that's probably because we're carrying, you know, ridiculous amounts of weight the majority of the time, and some of the activities that you're asked to do and have to do just take the toll on the body. So to some degree, that back injury was a significant setback for me, and something that, you know, actually a break from the military has helped me recover from. But I mean, since then I've had quite a significant injury to my knee, which is quite surprising considering I spent 14 years in the military and, you know, been shot at and everything else. And the worst thing that's happened to me is actually once I've left. So, yeah, I've fractured my patella into about 10.
Oh, wow.
I'm not exaggerating. It was dust, basically.
Yeah, I'm just wincing at that myself. Yeah. I haven't had it, but I've seen people probably not as severe as you. Then that's not pretty at all.
It's a bad injury, right? Just because it's a complicated You know, it's a complicated like recovery, but it's a complicated joint, right? So, in the human body, it's like the knee is a complicated piece of equipment. So, just trying to recover from that has been difficult, and just having the discipline to be able to get up every day and make sure that you're doing the stretches and everything else to make sure that it doesn't get any worse than what it could, you know. So, yeah, it's been difficult to try and manage those things, but yeah, injury is one of those, isn't it? It's like you've got to maintain the discipline in order to do the recovery properly.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And how about yourself? Is there any injuries that you've had that you've had to use rehab or prehab, or you know, how has that affected you mentally as well?
Yeah, again, just to reiterate Louis' point about the effect that the military and the career in the military has on the body, you know, it's significant. You know, most people have alisation hips and knees. It's all those complicated joints that Louis mentioned earlier that tend to suffer. I actually had my first major injury. I was blown up in a vehicle out in Afghanistan. I hit a sort of 70-pound IED, and that sort of lifted and shifted the whole vehicle. I sort of landed down, compressed, you know, my back and my spine. So the lower part of my back will flare up. It was herniated. It's not at the moment. The jam comes out the donut every now and again, usually at the most innocuous things, like, you know, picking your kid up out of the crib or something. Those lines. So I've had to kind of manage that as leaving as well, as well as trying to keep training. And then, you know, I've got knees as well that aren't great, let's be honest, but you know, I'm trying to manage that through training and jujitsu as well. So, you know, I'm always rehab all the time, I guess, on bits that are just not working as they used to, or as I would hope that they do anymore. So look, you know what you sign up for. You know that's a part of it. You give your body, you know, to the military and to a career that is physically demanding. You know, that's like being a professional athlete. They know that when they leave or retire, there's going to be some element of injury, you know, like a rugby player. There's going to be wear and tear there. And that's part and parcel of the job, you know. And I don't regret it at all. You know, I've had a fantastic fucking career, you know, and it has set me up, you know, and Louis and ourselves up for success in terms of through dark moving forward. So I don't kind of feel bad in any way about it. It's like I heard an analogy about someone saying, imagine having a fucking beautiful race car and actually never racing it on the track, and you just open the garage and look at it every day. I think we've probably revved the engines to death.
We've been in first gear on that track for 40 years. You know?
The wheels have fell off and everything.
We both just turned 40, you know. So and I guess that, you know, you're going to pick up injuries and whatever else, but I think we've actually looked after ourselves pretty well. I mean, for two 40-year-old guys, we're not in bad shape. Staz is beasting the running at the moment, and I tell you what, he's rapid. So it's like
we're still all right. We're doing all right. Yeah. So I mean, it's sort of we have to keep maintaining it. For me, I think the moment you stop or you jump off that train, fucking hell, you'll be left at the station. Then you will feel it. So I think we've got to keep moving, really, and keep motivated.
No, I totally agree with that. I think, especially even from a rhetoric point of view, because we do a lot of stuff with the NHS on fall prevention programs for the elderly, and that's purely because they could be busy people through their whole working career, whether it's military background or just general businesses working. And then as soon as they stop from retirement review, that's when the injuries start happening because they're not moving. So I think it's vitally important, that message, that you just keep moving as much as you can, as often as you can, and just have to look after yourself from an injury point of view. So yeah, that's a really good message, guys. Thanks very much for that. Actually, on that, so that's how are you finding jiu-jitsu at the moment? How long have you been doing it with Sam?
Do you do jiu-jitsu, Nate?
No, we don't. The reason I mention it is our CEO, Jack Daly, he bought the company, it's about 2 years ago now. He's a big fan of jiu-jitsu. He's been doing it. He set up a gym with the Diaz brothers. We've just opened up a HQ, a TRX HQ in Florida, and it's got a TRX studio, but then it's got also now two jiu-jitsu areas. Brilliant. And a rollout area and a mat area. So we're hoping to get Sam over there. But it's just interesting from your point of view, what got you involved and how you found it.
I was always sort of intrigued by jiu-jitsu. I've done martial arts as a kid, so kickboxing, boxing, joined the military, and kind of didn't do any more after that once I joined the military. And then I listened to loads of podcasts, Joe Rogan, for example, and you know, he's been a big advocate. He's a black man. He's studied jiu-jitsu for over 20 years, I believe. And everything I'd heard from all the different people on the podcast, it was all extremely positive. And at the time of leaving it, you know, you kind of think, I'd like to learn a new skill, do something different. Didn't really have the time, you know, energy or inclination when I was in the military to do it, to start it. You know, I wish I would have earlier, but when's the best time to fucking plant a tree or, you know, all that good stuff. So For me, it was like, right, Sam came down. We love Reorg. We've been supporting Reorg with Through Dark as well. I think it's a fantastic charity and a great mission that Sam's doing. So when he came down and said, do you want to go? We all jumped in and had a go. And, you know, I guess, how can I describe it? It's like fucking drowning above water, isn't it? You know, but I just found it super addictive. And it's something that when somebody does something like that to you, I was like, I need to fucking learn that. And I need to understand that. And it's had so many far-reaching positives attached to that as well, in terms of our own jiu-jitsu stuff that we brought out and clothing, connections through other people. And listen, I could fly halfway around the world tomorrow, you know, take my gi, turn up to a, you know, an open mat and be welcomed into any sort of area. It's such a great community. And I really like the fact that it's perpetual, you know, it's just never ending, the learning. And I think that's great. There's some beauty to be said in that. You know, it's not an attendance thing either. You know, every bell, every stripe is earned, and it's hard earned as well, because it's on you to protect, you know, to protect that and protect yourself. So I really love that. And I think it was good. And I'm super fortunate and thankful to Sam and Reorg for introducing me to that as well.
No, brilliant. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. I'm sure Jack will really love that. He may contact you at some point next time he's over in the UK for a role with you. Who knows?
Absolutely. We'll have to send him a gi, mate. We'll have to send him a Through Dark Reorg gi.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that would be awesome. We're going to wrap up slowly, but I just want to one more question in terms of the military and advice for people that have left the military now. You've talked about goal setting. Is there any other advice that you would give in terms of transition and navigating the military life now into civilian life based on your experiences?
You kind of already mentioned it. I think it's goal setting and having an aim. You know, I think before you've got to the end of that chapter, being able to sit down and assess what's in front of you, whether that's just a wide open space, you need to be able to put something in there to aim for. I guess that, it's understanding what intrinsic values you have and how you can kind of pave a future for yourself that's going to align to those values and beliefs and mindset and everything else, and drive towards a goal that's going to help you with that.
Yeah. Anything to add to that?
No, absolutely. I mean, Louis nailed it there. And I think just being authentic to yourself as well, and your own values and what you hold dear, you know. And listen, if you can do what you want to do, and I guess Through Dark started out as a, you know, an idea for me and Louis, but why did we start it? Look, we love the outdoors, we love technical clothing. And it was like a self-licking lollipop then. What starts out, you know, not as a big, huge business or a brand, which is growing into. For us, it was just, let's get out in the mountains, let's test kit. We love being out. And, you know, I think it's grown on from there, because we've goal set and we've set targets, you know, and each year it's, fuck it, let's do this. Let's aim for this. Let's aim for that. Next year we want to be this and we want to do that. You know, and I think that's been super important to us and enabled the successful growth of Through Dark to this point.
And in terms of Through Dark then, have you got any specific goals that you would like to achieve in 2024 and beyond? Or is it just a case of, let's continue that journey, no matter what comes, we'll put out fires, we'll raise the roof if we need to. Is there anything specific?
It's world domination, really. But I guess we just want to be the best possible versions of ourselves that we can be, and that's from the ground up. That's from myself and Staz intrinsically all the way through the company. We want to be able to provide a better future for everybody, to provide a good place for people to come into work, to provide something that's aspirational for people that look into the brand, to be able to go, well, that's cool and I'd like to be involved, or, you know, it gets them outside. We just want to provide value, right? We want to be able to give back, you know, and that's an honest fight from the bottom of our darkest, deepest souls. It's like to be able to improve the lives of other people, whether that's our close family or those that, you know, that reach us somehow through Dark or whatever other means.
Yeah, and I think to touch on the point there, the main sort of thing that for me that Louis said there was aspirational, you know, inspirational. And we live in a weird world, don't we, right now, in social media, and for all its sins and its negativity and its darkness, there's actually a lot of positivity attached to social media, you know. And I guess it's how you interact with these platforms, isn't it? Personally, I'm talking, you know, how you view the platforms and how do you use, you know, really look at yourself and think, am I on here for positive sort of action or negative action, you know? And I think for us, it's all positive. You know, we want to inspire people to get out and to climb. And that could also mean jiu-jitsu, it could mean fitness, it could mean general health and responsibility and everything else. But, you know, I think The main points for me on social media is that it can be used as a positive tool. You know, there's people that I look at, you know, and look up to on social media that inspire me. And I know we've had personal messages, I have, and Louis has, and the brand does as well. You know, we get a lot of positives from people saying, thank you for what you're doing. It's inspired me massively. It's motivating me to change the way that I live, the way that I look at life. And God, as a brand, for me, there's no better compliment than that.
Yeah.
You know, personally and professionally, I think that's incredible. And I think TRX is like that as well, you know.
Absolutely. Me and Louis,
listen, I've used TRX, you know, when it was initially coming out, those first concepts. I remember being out in the Western Desert in Afghanistan, you know, on a mobility patrol, you know, and again, wanting to keep fit. And, you know, Special Forces, it's 95% waiting and 5% go, 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 isn't it? But for the 95%, you have to use what's around you at the time. And I remember trying to do fitness workouts with the lads out in the desert. Bizarre, really, thinking about it and looking back. If you could drone in and look at us doing a workout, you know, off the wagons, it's pretty incredible, really. You know, using all the ammunition tins and the even the barrels of the 50 cals. But TRX was an integral part of that. You know, we used to hang TRX off, and it was an absolute game changer and a lifesaver, really, because my personal TRX goes everywhere with me. You know, we go out on photo shoots, we go up to Scotland with all this stuff. It's always in the bag or in the vehicle, you know, and it's there, and it's a nice sort of almost a comfort blanket, a horrible one, but a nice one in terms of, you know, it's there. If we want to use it, we can get it out and off we go, and we can still do all those functional exercises and keep fit as well.
Thanks a lot for delving into a little bit of TRX history with you. That's really, really appreciated, mate. So yeah, we're wrapping up now. So again, I just want to thank you both for your time. Really, really appreciate it. Really interesting conversation, and I'm sure our listeners will love it, and you may get a few questions. From that point of view, if people were to find out more about you, like you've mentioned social media, where can people connect with you, you know, message you, start following you? Where's the best places to go for both of you?
I think we have a few platforms now, don't we, which we're hot on, but we're hot on Instagram and a few other things. So yeah, I guess that's a good eye opener into the Through Dark world, and myself and Stats. So yeah, follow us on Instagram on Through Dark or individual profiles. So yeah.
Yeah. And what are your profiles? And I'll make sure I'll add them into the show notes as well.
It's pretty simple, actually. And I'm glad we did it from the outset. So it's Louis Through Dark and Stats Through Dark. So yeah.
Easy, no problems at all. So we'll make sure that we add your website and the Instagram pages and so on and so forth. And please let the listeners know that we will be partnering with Through Dark throughout this year. And all being well, you're going to be at the UK summit. We do summits all over the world, but hopefully you guys will be joining us for a military style workout on one of the days. So I'm sure the attendees will look forward to that. It's been a real pleasure chatting to you. Thanks again for your time. And we'll look forward to working with you over the next few months.
Perfect. Thanks, mate.
Thanks.
And that concludes another insightful episode of the TRX Procast. A huge thank you to our guests, Lewis Tinsley and Anthony Staz, for sharing their wisdom and experiences with us today. Their journey from the battlefield to civilian life is a testament to the resilience and endurance forged in the crucible of military service. As we wrap up, I encourage you, our listeners, to reflect on the lessons learned and the principles discussed. Whether you're a veteran navigating a transition to civilian life or simply seeking inspiration to overcome life challenges, may the insights shared on this episode guide you on your journey. Don't forget to subscribe to the TRX Procast for more thought-provoking conversations and insights into the world of fitness, resilience, and human performance. Until next time, see you on the next one.